What are you drinking, Harry?
American Budweiser.
Is that a problem?
Yes.
This is the time to rally around America, okay?
I want to rally around America.
This is the greatest country on earth. We don't have the coronavirus here.
This, maybe, you know. Honestly, I say we just blame Beech Grove for everything. At least in Indianapolis. Let's just blame Beech Grove.
It's not Beech Grove's fault. You be nice to them.
I'm blaming Beech Grove. They let the devil in.
Does that sound better?
Yes, Reinhold.
Yep.
Okay.
Do you guys remember like a month ago I'm a wrap up and I was talking about gathering supplies for this and everyone laughed?
Did we?
Yes. Yes, you did.
Well, we
were kind of making fun of the whole thing a couple months ago.
Yeah.
All right, we'll start with that.
And but I grabbed supplies. I remember grabbing supplies when I was watching a news report, Tim Pool, and he was talking about how quarantine was breached. And I went out and bought crap. I think I spent $400.
Oh, I
look like a crazy person.
I'm not that prepared. You've seen my cupboards. I usually have a pretty decent amount of food, but
yeah,
I don't have quarantine money. So thankfully, I got a freelance check, and I was able to spend a significant amount of money on making sure that I have probably a month, maybe, like, if I had to ration, I've got well over a month of food. But I bought, like, a little mini freezer because I bought food on Thursday because I knew everybody was getting paid on the 15th. And so I went out and on the 14th. And thankfully I did, because since then there's been nothing on the shelves really. And it takes 3 or 4 trips to get anything that you need. But I was out, so I went to Menards on Sunday and got the last little 3-cubit freezer. Thankfully I got that check because it allowed me to, because I had my Herculean meals coming, which Herculean meal prep is amazing.
It sure is.
Do you eat them?
I had their sampler. I loved it, but like, I just, you know, I don't need it. I loved it.
Yeah, that's
amazing.
That saved me so many calories at work, and so I have my 28 meals came here today, and 21 came to work. So I'm stocked up for the month in case they close. So we'll see. That's good. All right, I'm gonna apologize in advance. I've got a lot to say. we're gonna start. I don't quite know. I mean, Sam did great notes, so we're gonna go live to my Facebook page, which means we'll have a lot of people watching. And I'm basically going to tell people, hold on.
It's time to boog. It's time to boog. It's time to booga booga booga. Lou, oh, it's time to boog.
Right.
Sorry. Not yet.
Not yet. Let's not. Okay. Here's my point. Let's not scare people, Harry. Let's not go dark. My God. That's part of this. The email where we're not scaring people was for you. The too much Trump talk was for Dennis. And the conspiracies were for Hody. So for the bonus people, for the Patreon people, I sent everybody an email today. And everybody who's kind of involved in the network. With just, I don't tell people what to do on this network. These two will back me up. I say, do what you want to do. I don't care, even if it's Ryan Lindsay with his communist talk. But I basically said, hey, I want to start doing a daily show, which we'll announce on here, you know, temporary daily show. And, you know, we're going to have a lot of new people. And so here's what I said. My work on local indie radio and the Pat Down will bring in a ton of new people and non-libertarians. The tone has to be NPR and not hardcore libertarian. People are extremely sensitive and scared, which will only increase. And Wall and I are going to be gentle, calm, and explaining the context of this to help people get comfortable with big changes. It will look very tone deaf if we are not carefully making our point while defending liberty, or if we are making our point in anger. Too much politics and R or D or Trump bashing will also not go over well. We need to cover the political aspects, but it needs to be done in a fair and non-divisive, calm way, which Reinhold always does. For example, Trump's response has been seriously lacking and is important to discuss. Mandatory quarantines are problematic. The coming stimulus bills need to be challenged. We have to address these pieces of the complex picture. I ask that you think in the Wall style of content. Explain the facts, discuss in a rational manner, give an opinion, and if there is disagreement, do it in a way that is polite. We need to treat this as a historical event unparalleled in history until it is shown that it is not. We are voices that many people trust and inducing panic. Promoting conspiracies or pretending this is a non-event is absolutely not acceptable on the We Are Libertarians Network unless it is done in a point-counterpoint debate-type show. If this turns into the Great Depression, World War II type event, and I believe it's going to be, people will remember who made them feel hopeful and who made them feel scared. I pray that it is not, but I think at the very least we are facing a serious economic crisis and a scary public health crisis for the remainder of 2020. Libertarians need to lead in the way, providing leadership as no other sector of the political space seems to be doing. We are about to see the fabric of society stretched hard, as well as some inspiring moments of humanity. It is going to be an excellent time to show what makes a libertarian society work the best: empathy and peaceful cooperation. As always, do the content that speaks to you, but I ask in this time of coming great pain, try not to share something on our platform that causes more or will be regrettable in 3 weeks, and then shared some of our shared resources with everybody. So, I mean, I don't feel that I didn't want to be, dear leader, too authoritarian, but I just feel like I think everybody, and Dennis, you're in the group a lot more than everybody else, but I feel like everybody on the team kind of gets, this is an oh shit moment and kind of knows what not to do. I mean, it's just part of recruiting great people, and then they respond in kind.
Yeah, I mean, we discuss in private chats a little bit. We might get a little bit more
animated,
vocal about certain things, but yeah, for the most part, you know, when we're a public or trying to talk to other people, we're not going to be going anywhere crazy like that.
I think you have to, you know, Hody and I don't disagree, but we've been arguing over the quarantine stuff. I think we're both in agreement that using government force isn't the right way to do it. But I do think, and we'll discuss this on a future show, that there is a NAP violation aspect to knowing now what we know about how this virus is spread and then going to a St. Patrick's Day situation and putting other people at risk. And Hody's like, no, it's personal responsibility. If you don't want to get it, stay home. And I'm like, that's not how communicable diseases work. And he's like, I know, but that's why I'm staying home. So we've been going back and forth. You and I always go back and forth on Trump or I don't know, a lot of stuff. But I think there's
pretty much agree on this one.
Yeah.
It's going to be scary.
Yeah. I mean, and I think the reality is, and we'll probably get to the shutdowns towards the end, they're going to be too draconian and too heavy-handed and use too much force, and then people are going to get comfortable. Now the worst is past. Let's go to all these cool events in June and July, and there's not enough, and everybody goes out and everybody's around each other, and it's going to spike again. And then once we hit cold and flu season, it'll spike again, you know, if things play out the way that it's heading.
Yep.
Yes, but I think by then we might have some sort of handle on being able to treat the situation, right? So right now we're kind of caught with the pants down because we have been doing things that have made it harder for the United States medical community to respond to this.
Right? Yeah.
But I think what's going to happen, I don't think it's going to get any worse than kind of where it is right now, where people are saying stay home unless, you know, no dining rooms. Pretty much stand. I don't think they're going to start sequestering people. I could be proven wrong.
They are.
There's rumors that that's going to happen, but I don't know if it's going to go that far.
No, there's some isolated cases of the CDC, isolating people in hotel rooms. So I have heard
people, yeah.
Yeah. But
I mean, there's the one guy who checked out of the hospital, and he knows he had it, and he said, I don't care, and he left the hospital and went home. So the deputies are kind of surrounding his house, make sure he stays in the house.
Right.
But that's a clear net violation where he knows he has the virus, and he's willing to go out and potentially, you know, kill somebody just like you would if he was trying to drive drunk. Right. So
someone on Twitter said it's not a direct
analogy. I see a lot of people complaining about it.
Yeah. Someone on Twitter said it's not a direct analogy. And I'm just like, how is it if you're going out and having sex with people with AIDS without their consent, knowing that they're exposing themselves to this disease, that's a clear violation of the NAP. This to me seems to be very close to that.
Correct. Yeah. So, yeah. It is. It's a NAP violation. It's just, I think the people who disagree with it doesn't see the NAP violation on a spectrum or a curve. There you are. Nope, they violated my NAP. I should be able to destroy them and kill them. They're right. Those people. You know, it's like, no, things can be NAP violations. You don't have, you can respond in kind. Things, small things can happen. You have small NAP violations. You can have big ones.
Yeah.
Appropriate response is the phrase I use for that.
Yes. That's good. Yes.
All right. You guys,
did we all three disagree on something?
No, I think we totally agree on this. I'm not saying I'm in favor of forced government mandatory quarantines or shutdowns or any of that, but I also, it's like the smoking ban for me, where I just saw the bars packed this past weekend because people don't believe it. And it's like you're putting people's lives at risk. It's like smoking bans were annoying and I wasn't for them, but I sure don't mind not going to smell smoke at a restaurant anymore. But
there were so many people that wanted to go out Monday night. Let's go out drinking. It's one last hurrah. Let's go out. I'm like, no, go home. Go to your homes. Stay home. Why? Why would you go out? Stop it. Just stop.
Okay. Are you guys ready? I'll take that as a yes.
You didn't record us all agreeing, right?
This meeting is being recorded.
No, not at all. God. No. Good. It's going to the patrons, though. No. Okay. Oops. I need to actually do this.
The recording has stopped.
We're just out here doing simple things, pointing out that we're meant to be in nature and be natural. And this is where we find the source that God made to transcend the new world order. And that's why they want to try to keep us out of it.
I'm angry. I've had enough of these people. Little bones of Christian murderers. Giant death factories keeping babies alive. Sending their body parts. What more do you need to know about these people? These scum, they literally crawl out from under rocks. They have green looking skin and they run around screaming, we love Satan, we wanna eat babies. I have them on video.
Hillary's in the creepy weird stick stuff, man. Sleeps in the same room with that creepy weird woman whose mother wears a hood over her head. That woman number one is ugly. Imagine how bad she smells, man. I'm told her and Obama just stink. Obama and Hillary both smell like sulfur.
Literal vampire pot, then the goblins are hobbling round, coming after us. My spirit gets close to that evil and I feel it go high, high, high.
We're such self-centered crap, we don't even notice head itself rising up against us. Millions of burning people of the very worst type, and I'm so pissed. We're gonna steal your daughter at the mall. Ooh.
Nepalese. We love our Muslims. Oh, they're so good. Oh, they're so sweet.
All right, here we go. Oh, come on. What if I try this on... Trying to set up this stupid Facebook live stream preferences. We love our Somalis. Oh, they're so good. Oh, they're so neat. Na, 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 na. All right, so I'm going to play that again because that's good tunes.
The paradigm of absolute control.
If you don't know what this is Stereo Deluxe. They took Alex Jones' words.
To be in nature and be natural, and this is where we find the
source. Turned it into a song.
To transcend
the greatest song of all time.
And that's why they want to try to keep us out of it.
I'm angry. I've had enough of these people. They're a bunch of Christian murder scum. They're a giant death factory. Keeping babies alive. They're selling their body parts. What more do you need to know about these people? I go out and face these scum. They literally crawl out from under rocks. They have green looking skin. And they run around screaming, we love Satan. We want to eat babies. I have them on video. Hillary's in the creepy, weird, sick stuff, man. She sleeps in the same room with that creepy, weird woman whose mother wears a hood on her head. That woman number one is ugly. Imagine how bad she smells, man. I'm told her and Obama just stink. Obama and Hillary both smell like sulfur.
Literal vampire pot belly goblins are hobbling round coming after us. My spirit gets close to that evil and I feel it go. Such self-centered crap. We don't even notice head itself rising up against
motherfucker.
Millions of burning people of the very worst type, and I'm so pissed. We're gonna stare your daughter at the mall.
Ooh.
We're gonna stare your wife, your son. We love our Somalis, we love our Muslims. Oh, they're so good, oh, they're so sweet.
All right, so I think we'll just, Chrome. I think we'll just go to YouTube because this is not working. What have you done?
This is how we flexed in
2012.
This is how we flexed.
I desperately tried to get somebody from the Boss Hog crew on Saturday to go over and toilet paper his house, and none of them would have it.
Toilet paper's too expensive right now, okay? All right. Down to five cases. I still have six.
You're prepared, by the way. You have like 92 gallons of gas.
Yeah. And everyone's out getting a bottle of water, being intellectual.
Man. Oh, my God.
Just fill it up. Purify the crap.
Uh-huh. Okay.
All right. See, I also went to the store and got the other stuff that people don't think about. So, like, soap. Like, to wash your clothes. I got plastic, a case of duct tape to make a clean room and a decomp room just in case it gets too bad.
A clean room?
Yes.
What?
And I got
who
a bunch
are you
of
going
stuff
to be operating on?
First off, okay, sir, you told me not to make people scared.
That's
right now,
I did, yeah.
All right.
Oh, so you don't want to explain that, I guess. Okay. I got you. I pick up what you're putting down. Mm-hmm. Don't ask questions you don't want the answers to, sir.
Yes, exactly. Okay. Look at the documents. I've been watching stuff.
Oh, how dark is your YouTube? Your YouTube history right now.
The brightest thing on it is Tim Pool. Won't you know that? It's the brightest. This is like as bright as it gets. After that, it goes like really downhill. There's nothing but military guys giving me just being very realistic and telling you like, this is what I'm going to do. You should, you know, you could do what you want.
I just don't. You were built for this. You preppers and Mad Max collapsitarians. Your little pink nipples are hard. Well, maybe yours aren't pink, but.
I'm not happy. I don't want this collapse like this. Not like this.
But it's here.
It's awful. It's here. Yeah. You know, but my main problem is the people who are panicking about everything. Uh-huh. People who panic freak me out. Those people freak me out.
Yeah, I agree with you. I'm not worried about the disease. Yeah. I'm worried about everybody going too far.
Like everyone's talking about like, well, we need to give people money. It's like, we actually have a system for this. It's called unemployment insurance.
Right.
Just use the damn thing.
Yeah. No, but and we have not gotten started. So if you're just joining us, begin the show. No, it's okay. Cause we're live and I'm distributing this and I want to make sure that, it gets out there, but, I'm with you. I think that the reality is they want to keep people. I think part of the quarantine stuff and the money and all that is partly to just keep people from losing their crap. But the steps they're taking they're pretty big steps.
Yeah, but unemployment insurance gives people a portion of their income, just enough to live on. And they pay into it. This is part of your payroll tax, all the stuff that you have to pay in for. This is what they steal from you to put into this thing.
Yeah, right now what they're suggesting is giving you back the money they've already stolen and then going to be coming and asking for later, whereas the unemployment insurance is more of a, we've already stolen it, but you're due it back because of X, Y, or Z.
Mm-hmm. That's why they're trying to that's why I see them trying to write the special bill for it, so they can take it back.
Okay. Yeah. Are you guys ready?
You still have to pay. Yeah.
I think so.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. All right. Here we go, Harry. That was my cue when I said, are you ready?
This meeting is being recorded.
You're listening to the We Are Libertarians Network. Find more great shows like this at wearelibertarians.com.
All right, let's get back to some boring subjects.
Understand the risk to our country.
Freedom brings people together.
You're listening to the We Are Libertarians Network. Learn more at wearelibertarians.com.
Welcome to We Are Libertarians. My name is Chris Spangle. I am the host of this fine program. To everybody watching for the first time, we welcome you to the show, and thank you so much for joining us. In just a moment, Harry, Reinhold, and I are going to discuss the COVID-19 virus that is pandemicking the hell out of the world. So we'll cover all the aspects. Initially, we're going to have several shows on this, obviously, because it's world-changing. So we begin that coverage right now after this.
Warning, this show is for adults, produced by semi-adults. So the language is sometimes strong and offensive. Welcome to We Are Libertarians, where our goal is to help you sound smarter while talking to your friends. We examine current events from a libertarian perspective while treating modern politics with all of the irreverence it deserves.
There has been lie after lie.
We toss out the screaming heads, put people before political parties, and give context to the news to make you think. Now, here's our host, a 15-year veteran of politics and media, Chris Spangle.
Welcome to the program. My name is Chris Spangle. It is so nice to have you here with us tonight. We are going to be covering what is the coronavirus and what is happening. And we're going to give you some of our initial thoughts about things. And frankly, this is going to be a multi-night show. And so let me introduce my co-host first. Let's get that out of the way before we jump into everything. As always, joining us is Harry Price. Harry, how are you?
Going good. little cramped inside the house and down to like some supplies, but I'm doing good.
All right, good. And Reinhold, how are you holding up?
I'm doing great. Just a disembodied head now, it looks like.
Your head is floating. It's like HAL 9000 over there.
I do have this shirt.
Moreau's, you got your Moreau shirt. Yeah, I have not gotten mine yet. Yeah, the We Are Libertarians has a store now. I decided to launch so many new products and things around We Are Libertarians the week before the world fell apart. So, classic wall, Harry.
Classic. Just so classic.
Marketing genius is what
Marketing genius. I was just about to launch all kinds of different businesses and... Here we are, but I'm so excited to be here because I have been pent up, not quarantined. I'm deemed essential by my community because I work in radio. So I've never worked harder in my life. Some of you are enjoying what seems to be an extended, what will probably be an 8-month spring break, which we'll get to. But Reinhold, you're built for this. You never leave the house.
Yeah, my day has not changed. My week has not changed from what I normally do.
No appreciable life change
without walking out my front door.
So get and then give Harry some tips. Harry, have you been? Are you home? Have you been quarantined? Has your work said no? Don't come in.
Since my job's mostly considered manufacturing, I have to go out there. But my task have been trying to get the office personnel so they can work remotely. So I've been struggling to get that done. And after I do the last ones tomorrow, I have been dubbed to stay at home for the rest of the IT team.
So, yeah, you're in IT. So, like me, I'm one of the more technically proficient people around my workspace. And so I've been... the reality is that we are facing an inconvenience for the next couple weeks, as far as we know. Mm-hmm. We are going to... Here's what we're going to do tonight. We're going to talk... We'll just get into it. Let's kind of jump into it instead of bantering too much about ourselves. Should we talk about what the virus is, or should we talk a little bit about the overall, what we think, where we're at, what's going to happen, that sort of thing? What do you think people prefer to hear first?
We can talk about what it is.
All right. So be sure to ask questions on the YouTube chat. We're sharing this wide, and we're going to continue to share this. We're looking at doing a nightly TV show every evening around 7 o'clock, anchoring some coverage and keeping up with things because I had a lot of thoughts and I was sharing them on Facebook and Twitter. And by the time we got to this show, everything, people thought I was insane. Harry, you said a month ago, public apology to Harry, because, you know, last week I was saying, hey, if you look at Italy, if you look at other countries, they're going to start shutting stuff down here. You need to go to the store. You need to get what you need. You need to get your essentials. You know, I'm stocked up for months now on the things that I use on a daily basis because supply chains are probably going to be disrupted. And so, you know, everybody was like, you're overreacting. You're acting crazy. I'm like, no, I'm acting rationally because the reality is I don't trust everybody else to act rationally, and they're not going to prepare, and then they're going to slam the supply chains even harder. But you said at the end of one of our shows, I missed it. I don't remember hearing it. How long ago did you say this is going to be a thing? Pay attention.
I think it has been more than 2 weeks ago, because when I came on,
it was about a month ago. Because when it first kind of hit the news, Chris and I were kind of joking around a little bit about it, saying, you know, what's this coronavirus? Or we didn't remember the name of it because it just hit the news at that point.
I
remember you saying, got to be careful about this. I'm getting prepared.
I thought this was a complete swine flu. This is a nothing. This is the avian bird flu. No, come on. We go through this every time. I've lived through all these things. And what really changed my attitude was the day that Italy shut down was the day that Joe Rogan released a podcast with an epidemiologist named Michael Oberg. I still think it's one of the best pieces of media that I've seen so far. And I listened to that guy talk about it, and it scared me. And so I started really researching it last week, and I went, this is going to be bad, and it's not it's not the virus that's bad. It's the overwhelming of the medical system. And then you started seeing social distancing pop up and like, okay, here's a solution. We may or may not be taking it too far now, but better safe than sorry, I guess. So you what did you see early on, Harry, that I didn't see that I thought was just a joke?
Was the Chinese government response, because the adage is the Chinese government's going to lie. They are going to lie to us, right? They're going to they were hiding facts. They were hiding facts since, which is now we've been finding out since November, but there's like small inklings of this massive disease that's going through and it's taking people out.
Right.
And, everyone kept talking about the quarantine, but I started looking at it, what they were talking about when they talk about the spread of it was this was right during Chinese New Year. So everything was taken off. So people were going and traveling everywhere. And it's like, okay, so it's already been spread out there. This awful disease and no one has any infection out. It's been spread. Quarantine has been broken. And I just started watching videos of people taking like the worst case scenario of numbers of different things of, you know, and just watching it's like, okay, and this is how this thing spreads.
Yeah.
And it just started to, you know, shout out to Tim Pool video that started to get me freak out, and Terrence Pop, Bad Pop, yeah, good old Terrence Pop, Redunculus.com, one of his videos when he was doing the math of it is telling people to go out and get your shit tickets, toilet paper.
Shit tickets, okay. I wish we had been a little earlier on this because I think that I think people in this audience probably were fairly prepared, but I think you know, I called some family members this weekend and I go, you have small children and you don't know how bad things are going to get. You need to be prepared. And I think that there's too many libertarians and conservatives that are mocking the quote unquote panic. And I don't think that it was panic. I think when I was in line on Thursday and Friday, I would talk to people, and the attitude was really like, you know, everybody's going to be stuck at home. People eat out a lot. We need to get some, you know, a couple weeks worth of food. They were being very rational in what they were doing. They weren't panicking. Nobody was freaking out. You know, there wasn't, everybody was super polite as you went out to the stores this past weekend. I just don't, the other thing is the NBA and the NCAA, they don't walk away from billions of dollars. These companies don't walk away from voluntarily walk away from billions of dollars for no reason, you know? Right. And I think that's when everybody, I think that was a beautiful moment. There has been almost no leadership from any quarter in our society on this, except for the NBA and the NCAA, who I don't, Reinhold, did you see this? Apparently somebody said on a podcast somewhere, which is my source, that the administration told Disneyland and the NBA not to close down because it would hurt the economy. Have you heard that?
I believe that.
All right.
I probably have heard that, but I would believe it wholeheartedly. And also South by Southwest canceling too.
Yeah.
That was another big one.
We canceled all of our events, and it was a really like hard decision because at the time nobody really had like, all right, what should we do? And then that Rogan podcast popped up, and like, I don't trust Brian Williams or Lester Holt, but Joe Rogan has a credible epidemiologist on it. I'm like, okay. Yeah, you know, and I think that speaks volumes to where we're at in terms of how people trust the media and why so many people don't believe that this is a real situation.
And it's also, I mean, there was a lot of other things like that. I saw a couple other podcasts I watched have bring on some infectious disease doctors or epidemiologists. And they were telling a story that was, it's worse than what you're hearing, but it may not be as bad as it could be. So we've got some room in here that we can manage this if we act quickly, and we haven't been acting quickly enough. And they were kind of raising the alarm, but how is it that, how, you know, we're getting our news, we're getting the best news about this from Joe Rogan, as opposed to the CDC or the administration or the government or from the other news outlets. I mean, it's kind of crazy. And I think it's a good thing because the more information we have, the better. Even if it might get people a little panicky, I think the more information is going to counter anything else that's going on right now.
Yeah. So let me give you some information on what we're doing and how we're handling this and how we're approaching this. because I want you to understand kind of how we're coming at this stuff, especially if you are not familiar with us. This is your first time watching us. I clearly do not hold a degree in epidemiology. I am not an expert in most of the subjects that we talk about. And so what we really try hard to do is go find sources from multiple experts from every corner around a subject. We put them into our show notes. We attach our show notes to every episode description. So you can see, I mean, I am sitting here in front of show notes that Sam Schultz puts together for us. There is probably 20, 25 pages worth of show notes that we've prepared for this particular episode. We've been bathing in this, collecting information to try and understand exactly what's going on, to give you the information that you need to know where and how to respond to this. And because there's too many people who don't think it's anything and too many people who think it's going to be Mad Max Thunderdome. And the answer is that this is going to be a very difficult time for America, for the world, and for every one of us listening that it personally. My industry last week was really hard hit. And many people in my industry lost a lot of money in an industry that can't afford to lose any money. I've got comedian friends who are not working for the next 2 months. And their side job is a restaurant server. They're carrying the pain. But then you think about a meal at a restaurant, and you're sitting down in front of that meal, and if you're at Chick-fil-A eating a sandwich, there's 40 different suppliers that go into that one meal. Now you multiply that network effect by every meal in that restaurant times every restaurant times all restaurants, and you think, okay, the cup supplier, the ink supplier for the cup, the potato farmer, the fry maker, like all those, all down that supply chain, there's going to be a lot of economic pain. It's not just restaurant workers or event workers. It's everybody that goes into that. Someone was at lunch downtown. The Big Ten was supposed to be here last week. It canceled. And Tad Western was at a bar. Surprise, surprise. And he was sitting next to a guy who worked for the largest sports agency in America, and they lost $100 million last week. And that's now, you know, like I said at the top, like we were planning on really growing several different areas of this business, and we're not going to be able to do it now, like, because we don't know what's going to happen. So the economic pain of things are real. It's going to be very difficult. Our lives not only are going to be disrupted, this is the first time that millennials have walked into a store and have not seen exactly what they want when they want it on the shelves or on Amazon. And that may be that way for a period of months in some cases, because if everybody's not working for the next 3 months or 2 months or even 2 weeks, then how's the supply chain moving? So you have to think of this as in a macroeconomic sense. We live in such a complex society with so many moving parts that go into things. It isn't just the people that are. Here's another example of interconnectedness. The largest food bank on the south side is the Impact Center, where I go to church at Mount Pleasant Christian Church, and that food bank is funded by the church, which is not meeting at least for the next couple weeks. Probably, let's just be honest, probably for the next 2 months, everybody's going to be in the state that they're in today, right? At home, nothing's open. And that hopefully does not have an impact on offerings, because that offering goes to help buy the food that goes into the largest food pantry on the South Side, which is a poorer part of the South Side, lots of immigrants. And a lot of the food that they buy is the extra from Meijer, from Walmart, from Kroger. Walmart is the largest supplier of food to the Gleaners Food Bank, which is the food bank that buys massive amounts of food and distributes it to all the local food banks. And so now that you have a run on food and you have fewer offerings and the need spiking, that creates a very complex problem for the most economically disadvantaged in our society. So everybody's feeling very nervous right now. I would ask everybody to pray for my mom. I got dinner with her last night, and it was a tough dinner because she's a nurse. She's older, you know, and she's got some, she's a high risk person to be a nurse for sure. And she's like, I'm going to be on the front lines as much as I can. I live alone. I don't have, all my older kids are grown. I have a lot of experience. You know, and my mom is choosing to walk into the fire and knowing what we see in every other country around the world at hospitals, she's choosing to go and be a part of that. And whether or not you, dear listener, think that this is real or that somehow America, the greatest country in the world, is immune to what every other country on earth has faced, it doesn't make the anxiety around economic situations or anxiety around what the next few weeks will look like for people like my mom and the people who are out of work. And I would just say to anyone listening, but especially some of my hardcore libertarian friends, now is the time to highlight how much peaceful cooperation works. When the NBA and the NCAA walked away from billions of dollars, they sacrificed a tremendous amount, knowing how much that will hurt the economy, will hurt their employees, it will hurt the most vulnerable rungs of their organizations. But it was for the social good. They did it without government intervention because they did it because it was the right thing. In our situation at work, the ethical dilemma of holding an event and somebody getting hurt or sick or contributing to the problem was so much greater to us than the lost revenue. And I think that people like my mom, people like these business owners who are walking away from, you know, voluntarily, I think that this is sort of the only leadership that I'm seeing. And I think that it is going to be a time over the next few months where we're going to see the absolute best in people, and we're going to do it because we have a lot of empathy for each other and a lot of love for each other as human beings. I woke up to a friend sending me a message from VIP Kid, which is, if you are out of work, you may try VIP Kid. You teach English to kids in China. And this little girl had drawn her teacher. It was on the VIP Kid Reddit. This little girl had drawn a plane dropping supplies from China to America because she wanted her teacher to be okay. And I think that that is a testament to the human spirit, that Z can spread rumors about how America started this and how this was an American conspiracy to infect the Chinese people for his own good. But the little girl in China who sees what's going on in her society wants her teacher to be okay, even though they've never been in the same room and never will be. And so, because there's no leadership, when you think back to 9/11 and you think of those goosebump speeches that President George W. Bush gave, and it doesn't matter what you think about George W. Bush now, but when you think about that time and you saw people standing up and being leaders, and it doesn't matter what you think about Rudy Giuliani now, when we think of them then, we remember leadership. I watched the press conference where Donald Trump came out and he talked about how great it was that the Fed was cutting interest rates. And then he walked off the stage. And he was doing that because for months he's been obsessing over the fact that the Fed has raised interest rates because it hurts his economy, which hurts his reelection chances. And so Donald Trump, at this moment of crisis, who called this a hoax 19 days ago, and America hasn't prepared and has set up hurdles every rung in creating tests because Donald Trump didn't want to panic his economy, we are now woefully underprepared in testing. In the 6 weeks we didn't build tests, a German company did, they built like 1.6 million in that time. And so now here in Indiana, if you want to get a test, it's a 2 week wait. Friday, if you called to get a test, it was $900. And you had to have a ton of different, it wasn't a drive-through testing service, which are starting to pop up. So what happens? People don't go get a test. They keep going to work. They go to the grocery store. They don't self-quarantine. And the disease gets worse. That's failed leadership. So I tune into the Democratic debate on Sunday just to see if the Democrats could offer any other leadership. Bernie Sanders' solution is to give you Medicare for all, which will take at least 5 years to implement when we need action in 5 days. And I'm not talking about government action. Don't get your panties in a bunch. I'm talking about leadership. There's a difference between government action and leadership. And Joe Biden just decided to stand up and bash Donald Trump. And so, in the absence of leaders who don't have the ability to come and save you, because the federal government was in charge of one thing and it was testing, and they failed us. The federal government cannot save you. They're not going to. Stop looking to political leadership in moments of crisis. You are in charge of yourself, and you were in charge of saving your community and your family. And I think if you're listening to this show, you have to understand that you are responsible for the people that are within walking distance of your living situation now. If you have older people, check up on them. Because if there are mandated travel restrictions, then there may be an elderly person in your neighborhood whose son or daughter cannot come and help them. And they may need somebody to check up on them. There may be a family that has no one working in their household. And they may need help with food. They may need help with paying their bills. And you may have enough to do that. Talking to the food bank, they said that the scariest part is in 3 months when the need is still spiked and nobody's motivated to help. So I think that this is a great opportunity for each and every one of us to step up and start being leaders to the people that live within our walking distance of our house. But that's going to take you talking to those people. So when everybody's out walking, intentionally saying, hi, how are you? And not just as a, how are you? Let me keep walking so I can listen to this podcast. How are you? Is there anything I can do for you? And if you're in a situation where you're the one in need, when somebody asks, how are you? Tell them you're in need. Because when somebody steps up and says, I'm in need, somebody steps up and helps that person. I've seen it hundreds of times a year in interviews that I do on my radio show here in Indianapolis called Now Hear This, where we talk to charities. It's full of thousands of people in these dozens of organizations that step up and say, I'm ready to fill a need. And so you may not have been prepared for this. You may not have enough, but the reality is, as long as everybody listening to this lives out peaceful cooperation, starts to be gentle to people, because every single person that you're going to come across is going to be hurt by this. Because you cannot stop China's economy and then Europe's economy and then America's economy for 3 months and not have economic pain, not have physical pain, not have personal little tragedies like college students who are graduating from college and they're the first one in their family and now they don't get to walk in graduation, all the way to my elective cancer surgery isn't going to happen now and I don't know what's going to happen. And so in the 1918 panic, there's very little. Why do you think you've probably not heard of the Spanish flu? You've heard about World War I, heard about World War II, but you don't really know much about the Spanish flu, and 100 million people died and 700,000 Americans died, and that's not when we had 7 billion people on the planet. We had maybe a billion. People were so ashamed, and David Brooks just wrote a great article about how people act in pandemics. People are ashamed of how they acted to a profound degree through the Spanish flu, that books and movies and plays were not written about it because hospitals were overrun and they called for volunteers and nobody stepped up. Neighbors asked for food and nobody provided. The society that we live in is completely different than 1918 society in America. We have a tremendous amount of abundance. And yes, the shelves are empty right now. They're going to be restocked. The supply chains will gear back up. We will have as close to normal as I think. We're not going to have martial law, in my opinion. We're going to have an inconvenient, for most of us, an inconvenient period of about 8 months. But through that 8 months, there's a significant portion of our society that is going to have more than an inconvenience. And those of us who are inconvenienced can make sure that it's less painful for them. And I just would say to people who are inconvenienced and upset that they can't buy whatever they want off of Amazon, and I can't go get that couch from Kittles today, and Target isn't open so I can buy this thing that I don't need. This kind of economic insecurity is what a lot of people in this country feel every single day. That feeling of panic and fear is what a lot of people in this country feel every day. And that's what a lot of them are saying to us. And a lot of us have not been listening. And so I look at this as a great opportunity, because how often have we continually said, I just don't have enough time to read. I'd love to spend more time with my family. You know, this society doesn't value the right things. It's too commercialistic. This society is bad in these certain ways. And I just wish we'd go back to the old ways that my grandparents did it. Well, for the next 2 months, you have the opportunity to do that and to embrace things that you didn't have time to do because you were chasing stuff. And so use this as an opportunity to rebalance your life, to find things that you love about your friends, about your family, about your community, and about hobbies that you enjoy. So I don't see this as necessarily a bad time. It is a great opportunity for us to accept this adjustment with grace, with courage, and with decency towards other people, with empathy, and to change things about our life. We may, in 2 months, appreciate things that we didn't appreciate before. And so, you know, I'll bring in Reinhold and Harry. I think that there are parts about this that, because no human being on Earth has ever faced a pandemic, and so everybody's treating it like it's a blizzard or a hurricane. Their prep is like, this is a 3-day event, and they don't really understand what's... I've had to really do my homework to do this show. So I just don't know that people are totally prepared. And because they're not prepared to do something they didn't choose and they don't want to do, there's a lot of anxiety around it instead of looking at this as a positive to step up, be a leader in your community, and also change things about our lives that we may appreciate more with some time off. Harry?
It's, you're absolutely correct with that. It's embrace the time off. Embrace the time at your house. Have the, you know, I know it's funny. It's funny to say, like, the memes, like, I wish I could be at home more or something like that. I enjoy it. Granted, I just bought another house, so my honey-do list at home is massive, right? But it is neat being around, watching spring happen in my backyard and be able to actually sit there and have time to watch it happen, pull stuff out. And then with the new house, we're discovering new plants that are growing in it. We just found out today, that apparently the previous owner planted a crap ton of tomatoes in the backyard. And there's, I mean, a lot.
Really?
Yeah. So I'm going to try to keep care of them. I don't have a green thumb. So if we're going to be stuck at home for the next 3 months, my experiment is to see how I can keep these tomatoes alive. I don't know how. It's probably going to be an epic fail. Don't expect photos, and don't expect me to be like, you know, just cooking like all these tomatoes. I'm probably going to kill them, but I'll do my best. But what I liked, but on a positive note, of some of our positive notes, is while I was sitting at the, you know, trying to get all these people to work remote, a lot of people, a lot of the tech millennials are like, well, I'm a tech, you know, I can do this. I do all this, if I can do this remotely. And I was like, yes, you can. But we are all that art, all that code, everything that you do is based off manufacturing inside the warehouse. Mm-hmm. If the warehouse has to stop, there's no reason for you to do any of that code. There's no reason for you to do any artwork. There's no reason for you to reach out to customers to get more sales. They stop, you stop. The magic money stops coming because business is not profitable. So we've got, so it's like, I'm kicking everyone out of the office. Yes, it's a good thing. Do not gloat for the warehouse workers, because they have to be here to keep manufacturing going.
Right.
I'm getting rid of you office workers to lower the number of people in this place.
Right.
You know, it's the, please, you know, it's like, it's please leave. We need just essential employees at the warehouse as much as possible. So, you know, so we're, there is just 25 people in every area, and please do not meet. Please do not mingle.
Because if you, and this is not a shameless plug, but just telling people, like, if you were to buy something from the We Are Libertarian store, then Harry's company is the one that fulfills those orders. So you know, you have a lot of people sitting around, and then they order something, like their online shopping. Mm-hmm. That kind of industry is still going to be there. It's still going to be functioning. You know, the bar and the restaurant industry, the entertainment industry, the that stuff is going to be hard hit. But if you're making Kraft macaroni and cheese and then transporting Kraft macaroni and cheese, and I alone, I mean, if Kraft's stock went up, it's because of my investment in Hamburger Helper over the last few days. You know, so there are going to be parts of the economy that are not going to be completely demolished by this, you know, and there, and
right.
And I don't expect my industry to be demolished by this. I think there's a lot of projects on hold, but what I think is there are going to be creative people sitting at home for 2 months, finally working on that thing that they've always wanted to work on, or write that copy they've been too stressed out to work on. And there's going to be this creative explosion of great things that have been worked over and over and over out of this, like there was after the writer's strike. And so yeah, this time of rest may not be a horrible thing.
Correct. There's a tons of people out there that have probably said, you know what? I could write a good book. Go ahead. Or I want to learn how to make a video game. You have basically, what, like 3 months now. Yes, you can be a pseudo okay at, you know, at Unreal Engine or whatever engine you want to pick. Pick a game engine. Do it. Make a game. You could probably make 3 games in this time, you know, in the next 3 months.
LinkedIn Learning, the Khan Academy, all these various, you know, everybody's got a course. There's tons of time to read, tons of time to learn.
I'm trying to get finished because they switched out the CCNP exam, and so I want the new CCNP certification. So, and I haven't had time to study for it. Perfect.
Yeah, Reinhold, you are a remote worker by law, by and large.
By law.
I didn't call him large. I know his shirt.
I am though.
I know larger his shirt size, life. But it's larger than life. That's right. That's your mom tells you you're a big boned. what are you seeing in the work from home revolution type? Do you see this as a doom and gloom situation, like it is, or do you see this as I see it as kind of a time of adaptment. So I think everybody will be working from home in 20 years, and this is going to be the match that kind of lights that off. I mean, do you think I'm crazy? You're knee deep in it.
I do not. I've been calling for people to start, you know, working from home more than they do currently. I mean, for the past decade. So I'm all for this. I think it's great as far, you know, as far as the working from home bit, right? I'm not all the other stuff, but I mean, it's going to lower the amount of traffic on the roads. It's going to lower the emissions that we're putting out from cars. It's going to lower the demand for gas, which is going to lower the price for gas. You know, so all of this stuff really makes things so that when you have to go out, you're going out and you're not running into all these people who just like rush hour has been horrible, you know, a horrible thing. If we can get some of that taken off the road by people staying at home and working, then maybe we can, you know, make that experience a little bit nicer too. That when you do have to go out, you're not, you know, stuck in traffic jams and stuff like that.
Yeah.
My commute from, for me is always, as for the past 10 years, probably been, you know, 50 feet, you know, to my office,
right.
You know, so it's not like I'm not wasting 2 hours a day in a car going to someplace working and then coming back home. So I save a couple hours a day to do other things out of that. And you mentioned something about, going out and making sure your community is taken care of and doing what you can to help other people. Remember that viruses are infectious, but so are emotions, right? So how we treat each other is going to spread just as fast. If you're kind to someone, if you smile at somebody, that goes a long way, although you may not think it does, but it affects them. Then they will in turn be more happy or more content or more willing to help other people. So they'll pay it forward and they'll help somebody else. That spreads very quickly. So I think that's what I want to see us kind of come to grips with in this time, is coming to understand that and really acting upon it more in a more thoughtful process. And I think that's going to do more to help, society, not just through this, but going forward. So there's potentials, I think, for lessons to be learned. But we also have to make sure we're taking care of ourselves and our community and our family and, just protecting ourselves from, negativity or anger or frustration.
So. Yeah, I think there's no doubt that there's going to be disagreements, and it's already starting to show in our group. And I think there is, you know, just like after 9/11, massive mistakes were made after 9/11 because people were afraid. And so keeping a clear head and diving into information, I think the dumbest thing that I have seen over the last week is people repeatedly saying to me, stop watching the news. That is the bird cry of the idiot. Because the best way to challenge yourself is to hear a lot of information and pick apart what is good. And the more news you watch, the better at picking out propaganda you become. And so there is a lot of propaganda. There is a lot of stuff that's going to happen that we don't necessarily agree with as libertarians. There's a lot of fear in the libertarian community right now because there's tremendous government overreach. I mean, but, you know, trying to talk that out, I think, is going to be the best way to do it. And that's what we're going to do here on the show every night at 7 p.m. I'm going to be hosting most of them. But what we're going to do is we're going to open it up to the wall contributors. We're going to have people come on. We're going to talk about every aspect of this. We're going to keep you updated on the news. We're going to continually, we have a research team. So if you're listening and you're stuck at home and you're bored and you're good at finding links or organizing information or picking apart the best parts of an article, or you're good at pulling audio and editing those little clips, and you've got some time on your hands and you want to be part of a community that is contributing to something, then please send me an email at editor@wearelibertarians.com, or you can private message Hody Johns or myself on any platform, and I'll connect you with Hody, and Hody will get you set up, and you'll work with Sam, our lead researcher, to kind of get things organized. Because what we want to do here is bring you as much information as possible so you can make your decision. And through every night at 7 o'clock, through these conversations that we're going to be broadcasting, where hopefully you will participate in the comment section on our YouTube channel, so go subscribe. We're going to have disagreements. And you're going to hear things that you disagree with, because it may be in your personal interest, for instance, to have the government paying your paycheck during this time of job loss. I fundamentally don't agree with that philosophically. I'm going to explain to you why. And I'm going to do it in as nice of a way as possible, you know, and maybe you agree, maybe you don't. Maybe you agree, if you're a listener, with the stimulus package that Donald Trump is planning And I'm probably going to disagree with you, but I'm going to tell you why, and I'm going to do it in a way that hopefully you understand my point and is not insulting. These quarantines, for instance, there are a lot of libertarians who are not terribly upset with the bar enclosure, the bar and restaurant closures in a lot of states yesterday. Well, there's cases to be made for why it was perfectly reasonable from a NAP violation libertarian perspective. It's not the widely held view. And we're going to talk about that stuff. And there's going to be arguments between libertarians. And we're going to try and do that in a respectful way. And so there's going to be a lot of friction in society, is my ultimate point. The fabric of our society is going to be pulled even more than it already is. And there's two outcomes. There is the Harry outcome, and there is the Chris Spangle outcome, where Harry, with his 87 gallons of gas, 19 million rounds of ammo, three houses with bug out bags in each one of them, my house is going to be overrun. I don't think we're going to get there. If you really look at it, the Spanish flu and World War I happened at the exact same time. Guess what happened? Society flourished after that. And then World War II happened. And guess what? It was the most destructive war in human history, and society flourished after that. The human species is a very adaptable animal. We are a very adaptable people. And the best way to adapt is to hear new ideas. And so join us every single night at 7 o'clock, and we're going to be talking this through, and we're going to try and understand it and make sense of it. Because when you have a complete reset of our way of life, either temporarily or permanently, we have to try and figure out what's going on. Because this is a very complex thing. You've got government action and how they're making things worse in a lot of ways. You've got intricate markets being shut down, and what does that look like? You've got a pandemic, and you've got the healthcare system potentially being overrun. And I'm just going to be honest with you. I don't think that we're immune to it. I think in the next 2 weeks, we're going to see significant problems here. In Indiana, we had one death yesterday. We have two deaths today. And the way that this goes is 4 deaths tomorrow, 8 deaths the next day, 16 deaths, 32 deaths, 64 deaths. It's not a linear progression. It's not 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 deaths. It's 1, 2, 4, 8, 16, 32. But we're going to be, you know, my local radio show tomorrow. I'm talking to a very high up person who understands the virus intricately. We're going to, I'd ask you to go subscribe to Now Hear This so you can hear that interview. We may play portions of it on this show. We're going to be talking to experts. My friend Pete the Planner is going to come on. He's a financial planning expert. We're going to try and find experts who can talk out a lot of what's happening and try to help us figure it out. We're going to talk to probably some government officials and go, why are you closing things? Why is this so draconian? What is your reasoning? And push back on them a little bit. The challenge with getting experts is many of them are very busy in their own field right now. I reached out to the Indiana Department of Health, and even the giant radio cluster in the state capital that I work for, they said, we just don't have time. We just don't have the ability. I just stick with this, but you're gonna have to, you have the time to read and understand, so do it.
Yeah. Yeah. Because most people have, whatever, 30 hour, you know, travel time to work. You don't have it anymore.
Right.
Take the time. Read a book.
What do you guys think? So my best gut on this quarantine stuff is in a week, you're going to see most state and local communities shut down. So right now you can go to Chick-fil-A and go through the drive-thru, but that won't be possible. But you're still going to be able to drive to your friend's house. You're still going to be able to walk around. Your grocery stores and pharmacy is going to be open, but Staples isn't. You know, that's kind of where I think most. Now, the reality is these emergency travel declarations that they put out, much like during a blizzard or a hurricane, they don't have the resources to stop you, and they can't really ticket you if they do. That's what I have come to understand. And it depends totally on the municipality or the state. But even if there is a quarantine and they close roads down, there's not a whole lot they can do except tell you to turn around or whatever. And you can just go, okay. And then, you know, dip down a different street and head along your way. So they're not going to be welding us in our homes. But I do think that this is kind of disturbing. I think from a libertarian perspective, and we've, you know, Reinhold for 80 years has bathed in the paranoia that is collapsitarianism. Harry has acted on it. I think we are sitting here going, this is what we... Doom Paul is ringing in my head, man. We warned you. It didn't have to be this way. I mean, what are you guys thinking about the quarantines?
Well, I don't think it's gonna. I don't think we're gonna get to the point where like the drive-throughs aren't open. I think there's still gonna be drive-through openings and takeout carry-out food because that doesn't spread. You have the social distancing then still, and it doesn't really spread. What we know about the virus is that it doesn't really last long on surfaces. So trying, you know, passing it on through that method doesn't really work too well. So I don't see the downside to keeping those open so that people could still go and get food and still have a business and that sort of thing. But I mean, it could happen. We could get travel advisories where you say, hey, you know, don't do this if you do that. And I just don't see it getting that far, to be honest.
Someone told me, they go, oh, there's no way the bars and restaurants reopen. I'm like, really? Like, do you really think that the government's just going to keep all these people out of work? Like, the whole reason the Federal Reserve is now in charge of unemployment and put themselves in charge of unemployment was to quell civil unrest. Like, mm-hmm. That's, in my opinion, a lot of why these curfews and quarantines and job shutting down, people are so freaked out they don't want civil unrest. So they give guidance. And everybody takes, oh, well, we got to cancel any event over 10, even though there's no legal teeth to it. But everybody just obeys the guidance blindly. That's what we would do, too,
in a libertarian society, though. If we had an organization that was saying, hey, we recommend this, a lot of people would voluntarily stop doing it. Right? There doesn't have to be force behind it in order to accomplish the kind of the same things.
Correct. It's the thing that libertarians have been saying about for what is it, like been 50 plus years. It's the idea of I don't have to be told to put my seatbelt on to wear my damn seatbelt. It's a good idea. I'm just going to do it to save my life and others.
When you pull up to a stop sign, you don't pull up to a stop sign because of the sign. You pull up to the stop sign to not get killed.
Right. You stop. It's that creepy thing with libertarians is that the aspect of, well, they can't tell me to do this. Yeah, but it's just still a good idea, you right. know? Even at the thing to it, it's like, I go back to seatbelts, you know? They tell you to wear your seatbelts. You just unfund, like, well, I'm just take the seatbelt off, disable my airbags. Well, I do that too, but that's a different story.
Right.
But it's just goofy that like you disregarding it just because someone told you to.
I would note that the attitude of people, the beautiful thing about last week was the voluntary cooperation and everybody saying, nobody needs to tell us to shut down. We're shutting down because it's the right thing to do for a societal good, no matter the cost to our bottom line. And you know shit serious when billionaires start giving up billions of dollars. When it affects rich people's pockets, then you know that they're serious about it. Let me say this. The attitude on your Facebook feed from people, I don't know about you guys, but my timeline has gone from, man, this sucks, but the NBA is doing the right thing, to when the government closed down the bars and the restaurants, to fuck you, government, I'm going to do what I want. And people dig in. Like that force. And the government action of being told what to do is what I think people... Now, it may just be that that segment of society who go to bars and restaurants didn't fully believe it because they were still in the bars and restaurants. And so they're mad because they are doing something they don't believe they have to do. But in general, I just find the general conversation has switched to being angry and a little more amped up because people don't like to be told what to do. It's just basic human nature. So, Harry, I cut you off. What were you going to say?
I think I lost my point.
All right.
I apologize.
Well, you know, we're going to start wrapping this up because these are not going to be terribly long. Tomorrow night, we're going to explain what is the coronavirus and explain some of the epidemiology of this. And if you get the symptoms of it, have you guys in conversation? I've noticed this thing over the last like couple weeks, and I think it's because people want to be hopeful about their own personal health. Everybody says to me, you know, I think I had it in January. I'm pretty sure I got it last October. I'm like, it didn't jump to human beings till late November. Like, I have noticed a trend of people kind of saying, I think I've got it. It's like, no, allergy season started this week, which is the worst time for it. So,
I also heard black people are immune to it.
Black people can get it and young people can get it. I got a message from a pat down listener. Thank you, Jesse Fisher. He says, who's the skinny, handsome fellow with the nice haircut that replaced Spangle? But there was a guy, somebody sent me this message, and I'll read it for you because I think it was kind of indicative of why everybody's staying in. I don't think we need to totally go into blunting the curve. We will tomorrow and explain some of the numbers on this stuff. But let me see. Where's her message? Sorry. Fascinating radio, I know.
Yep. The best.
Yeah.
This is, you know, how can I put this? Until I see, I'm going to need at least 10 black guys with the disease, their grandmamas, confirming their identities, Chris Spangle there with Dion taking notes.
Yeah, so...
I'm surprised somebody hasn't War of the Worlds this thing yet. What's tried it? To, you know, just do a comedy show and stir up a bunch of fear.
Oh, man. Yeah, that FCC fight will be disgusting.
Day three, we'll get into the asteroid that's apparently headed our way. So that's April. So I promise not to panic people, but so don't Google the asteroid that is apparently going to hit the Earth. So what I've been asking people on social media, send me information. I've got sources who are at the CDC. I've got information from listeners across, you know, I got that message about the Stafford Act will be invoked and we're going to have martial law at the federal level. And I don't think that's going to happen. I don't think that the federal government can enforce a mandatory quarantine. I don't think that they have I was sent something. I haven't studied it yet because I haven't gotten to the legalities of the quarantine stuff yet. But the reality is that let's say President Trump says there's a federal mandate to quarantine everybody. Then only federal policing agents can arrest you. State and local can't arrest you. The military is not allowed to police in America. So there's not enough FBI agents to round all of us up. So like everybody don't calm down about that. Like there's a lot, there are so many forwards going around from, I got this from my aunt who works at the DOD. And I'm not saying that there isn't going to be in the next 48 to 72 hours, a significant tightening of a lot of this stuff. And who knows what it looks like next year. I'm as paranoid a libertarian as many of you listening. I'm just trying not to be irresponsible on the airwaves. Okay. So when you get some of this stuff, please know that it may not be true, but forward it to me because I want to know, like if you're out there, I want to know what's happening in your area. editor@wearelibertarians.com. You can also private message me. If I don't respond, please don't take that as me not caring. It's that I am already from multiple audiences, just getting a lot of information, which I really want to collect that information. I may just not be able to properly thank you in the way that I would like to do, but I want to know what's happening in your area. And so please inform me, hit me up on Messenger, on Instagram, Twitter, email, whatever, and let me know what's going on. And this person who listens to the Pat Down podcast, which is a comedy podcast that I do with Miss Pat and Dion, she writes, I wanted to tell you a bit about our situation in my hometown. We had a 27-year-old woman that got sick. She went to the doctor and tested negative for strep. She hadn't been out of the country, so they didn't test her. A week later, she wasn't better and was giving the test and was given the test for coronavirus. While waiting for the results, she had to be incubated and flown to a bigger hospital. They weren't sure if she would recover. She was on a ventilator for almost a week and finally recovered. She's a 27-year-old healthy woman. No pre-existing illnesses. Sadly, a 66-year-old man with a heart condition in her church died from the virus and complications with his heart issues. This was the first known case in Kentucky and the first death. If you're young and don't get better, go get tested. And I think that's something that I've heard that black people can't get it too. And there, you look at the John Hopkins data and Africa has nothing. It's like, they don't have tests either. It's like black people can get it. Please understand that young people can get this. If you get it, you are probably not going to have symptoms or have a mild cold or a fever. Shortness of breath is the hallmark. It is a viral infection of the lungs. And if you're having problems breathing, you should go in. If you think that you have symptoms and you can get a test, you should get tested, because then other people in your circle need to know that you've been infected and they need to take precautions to quarantine too. So I'm not saying don't go to the hospital, but if you get symptoms, your eyes get watery and itchy, you're a little hard of breath because you've been sitting on the couch for the last week and haven't exercised in three, like me, I'm like, I'm hard of breath, I can't breathe. It's like, your fat ass hasn't worked out in 2 weeks, you load. What I'm worried about is that because everybody is so fearful of this, they're going to get some symptoms and everybody's going to rush to the hospital, especially when cases start to pick up. And so what I, as a 36-year-old male who is healthy with no underlying health conditions, does not need to do is go to the hospital for treatment if I'm not having problems breathing and I've got a fever. There's nothing they can do for me. Antibiotics do not work. This is a virus. If you take antibiotics, you're probably making it worse. There, I saw a news article from an actual, I think it was CNN. Some pain relievers may make this worse. So do your research. If you do get it, make sure you, before you put over-the-counter drugs in your body, Google it and make sure it's from a reputable source like a Johns Hopkins. So those of us who are healthy and can stay home don't need to go get treatment because we're not having significant breathing problems, we can be part of the solution by not overrunning things. So that's just one thing to keep in mind. So if you're experiencing symptoms, stay home, stay away from everybody. It's like, apparently it is draconian that everybody's staying home, because the fact is that it's the distance and not sneezing on each other. It's the particles in the sneezes that get and infect you, and you're most contagious when you have symptoms. And so we can work 6 to 10 feet from each other, like a golf course is staying open out in Boss Hog Land. That's perfect. Like, there's no reason for a golf course to be shut down. But if you're working in a cubicle farm 3 feet from each other and everybody's sneezing, like, that's just a recipe for disaster. So we'll get into why the quarantine stuff is necessary tomorrow, what the disease is, a little more about the symptoms, and give you a little more information on some of that stuff. So tune in tomorrow at 7 on the We Are Libertarians YouTube, and you can watch it there and participate there. So final thoughts from you guys. Let's start with Dennis. So, oh, excuse me, Reinhold.
I'm sorry. So we were talking about the impact of what society is going to be like, whether people are going to turn on each other or we're going to help each other. And I think while we're talking about that, I kept thinking back to my time in southern Texas and Louisiana right after Katrina and the other hurricane right after hit. Right. So I was down there and things were just shut down. There were businesses destroyed. People had nothing. They had no where to get food from. They had nowhere to get any kind of help from, so it was kind of like a large quarantined area in that regard, where they just had no functioning society. And There were initial reports of some looting going on the day after the hurricane or the day after that. But for the most part, it was one of the great stories of how people came together as a community and other people came and helped those people recover from that horrible situation. So I can see the same thing happening here in the United States globally, just from that, because we are just a set of communities. And really, as long as we take care of ourselves, we take care of the people around us, and everybody does that, then everybody will get taken care of. And that was really the goal, I think.
Harry?
If you do a quick internet search about the ibuprofen thing, you will get some neat articles talking about the sensitivity of it. The other thing I want to discuss is when you are like looking up, don't forget while you're at home and you're eating all these canned foods and your survival stuff foods, the another thing you might want to look up, you know, because you're paranoid, the one thing you can do to also keep yourself, you know, safe in your house is look up foodborne illnesses. You know, yes, you're washing your hands and sanitizing it, but do not open that can of chili and eat out of it, you know, without heating it up to proper temperature, just eating out of the can.
Especially if it's a dented can.
Yes, dented cans. Yep, this, probably some of you guys are pulling out some of these old canned foods you haven't eaten. Trust me, it is not worth it. You learn how to, you know, from a good can from a bad can. It you know, you do not want to be at the hospital right now with a foodborne, with botulism because, you know, you're in your bunker and you're eating bunker food.
Right.
You know, so these are something that you can actively do to save yourself and others. You know, a lot of times people laugh at me when I tell them like, hey, that food's been out way too long. Throw it out. Not now, especially not now. I'm just like, don't be on the roads. Don't be on the roads just because of the fact that if you get in an accident, you just took down, you know, now this ER guy's dealing with you because you decided to go joyriding in your car.
You
got a rebar in your chest.
Yeah, that's a huge part of it too. You know, people, just accidents happening.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Be safe. Yeah. If you want to go out and bicycle ride, cool. Put your helmet on. I hate wearing my helmet too. Mess up my fro. But no, put the helmet on.
I actually went out today.
What?
And got in the car and drove. So we have a, so I live in the country, so there's really nobody like right near me. And we have a few neighbors, but you know, we all keep our distance for the most part. So I drove to like the local big town that we all kind of congregate to for where we get our food, where we get our fast food, where we get our gas, that sort of thing. It's right off of the exit on 70, right? So it's kind of like a bunch of like a McDonald's and an Arby's and things like that, and kind of everything built around that. So when the dining rooms were open and people were getting off the interstate and getting in the dining rooms and all these people were commingling in that area, that was a big spread of the virus, I think. But when I went there today, I was expecting to kind of see everything kind of shut down and not very many people, but there were a lot of people driving around. There were people going through the drive-thrus. People were still out doing things.
Right.
I think they were being, they were taking the proper precautions, and they weren't like getting in people's faces or doing anything like that. And like I said, all the dining rooms are shut and closed up. But I think that's probably the most appropriate response right now. So I didn't feel uncomfortable. And I really just went there to see kind of what the situation was like. I didn't get out of my car and go shopping or anything like that. But yeah, it was. I think people are handling it and responding appropriately for the most part.
One other thing is, so I just got a notice from someone, and they got a status share. They shared a status that basically said, hey, if you think this is a hoax, there may be a mandatory shutdown. Check on your neighbors. Just make sure you've got supplies. Like, students in China have, you know, they thought it would last a couple weeks, and the shutdown's lasted 2 or 3 months in China now. You know, so just keep that in mind. And that got zucked. A lot of people shared an article from Fox 59 News about Governor Holcomb and testing kits. I shared it. That got zucked. One person is saying that there's an algorithm issue, but If you get a lot of posts removed, I want to know it. If you're getting stuff removed from social media from, you know, like if it's conspiratorial and you're posting this is a biological weapon designed by the American military to control the Chinese, then like don't bother sending me that because you probably like you know what's going on. Come on. But if you're sharing a Fox 59 article or a TMZ article where TMZ wrote an article about San Francisco being closed down and gave the details and that got zucked, I want to know, I want to try and figure out if that's an algorithm thing or if this is a consistent problem too. So mainly what I want to do is be a clearinghouse of information for our listeners and help you figure out what's going on. So please send us stuff. And we'll handle all that inbound stuff. So before we go, I do want to thank our patrons. I know that the urge is probably there to start reevaluating your finances, and I'm going to be taking a look at monthly subscriptions. I will say I understand if you have a change in your financial situation and you need to cancel. I'm not going to be upset about that, and I will never look at that as an insult. But I will say that if we get significant, all of my extra income that kind of helps me pad some of the wall stuff is now gone. Like I've lost a lot of side gig income, and I was starting to build that into a business and start to do well, and I was going to work on some big projects. That's all kind of gone. Like if we, you know, so the margins are getting tight around We Are Libertarians, that's for sure, and I may have to start cutting some stuff myself. So, you know, I would just say if you consider canceling your Patreon, can you make us one of the last ones? Because we're really going to be working hard to provide you with a lot of good information, and the money that is given by our patrons is used as for our tools. And it's not a situation where I make gobs of money on this. I put it right back into what we're doing here. And so I really do appreciate everybody that continues to sustain us and help us grow, especially our $100 a month pledgers. And that is Matthew Durbin, Christy Avery, Jeff Bennett, Jason Doolittle, Ed Brehab, and Craig DaCosta. And we thank you guys so much. There is going to be new merch. So if you check out the Patreon tiers, there's some new Patreon incentives there. If you're at the $10, $25, or $100 level, you can get a sticker, a poster, and or a t-shirt. Depending on the level, you'll get all three or two or one. And we've got some extra content that I pledged to start doing in April. We're going to see how much content we have to plug out on this main feed here, depending on how things go. If we look and it goes two months from now, and it's like, all right, you know, in 2 weeks, Chlorinique and vaccines and all kinds of things are tamping this down, awesome. And we're going to go back to business as usual. But if not, we're going to continue to make sure that you got good information. So please support us on Patreon at patreon.com/WeAreLibertarians or hit our website, WeAreLibertarians.com. Please, we appreciate your support. So thank you everybody so much for listening, and we will see you tomorrow. Please spread the word. If you find this valuable, if you find this helpful, then please share the information. That will help your friends hopefully feel a little more comfortable about what's going on. And we really do appreciate you. Harry Reinhold, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you. Thanks for having
me. All right. Thank you everybody, and we'll see you tomorrow.
You're listening to the We Are Libertarians Network. And you can find more great shows like this at WeAreLibertarians.com. Shows like We Are Libertarians with Chris Spangle, The Brian Nichols Show, The Boss Hog of Liberty, Now Hear This with Chris Spangle, Gingerarchy with Tricia Stewart Mann, and our training podcast, Upward, Libertarian Activism. All of these shows are supported by our patrons. If you'd like to become a Patreon member, visit WeAreLibertarians.com. Thank you so much for listening to this show.
The recording has stopped.
All right, fellas, we'll see you tomorrow.
Don't you want the scary stuff?
No, not now. and neither of you have to be here every night. There's no expectation of that kind of time. You're more than welcome to be here. So whatever you want to do. All right. I'll see you guys later.
All right.
All right. Bye. Okay.